Okay, good morning, everyone. Our weekly shiur from Maseches Chagiga is sponsored by Yitzway CPA, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for a Chagiga. Amazing. Especially for me, who gets parsonage. And Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Simcha Ben Adina Minya. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ruili Nishmas Shimon Ben Zep, and Fega Bas Chaim. Okay, so the Mishnah, if we recall, the Mishnah in its series of... Are we on? Just want to make sure. Yeah. Last time we had a malfunction. Okay, the Mishnah... I didn't mean to be... The Mishnah says the following. The Mishnah had a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If we recall, about children. So the experience of Aliyah L'Regel was a family ordeal, right? It involved men, it involved women, and it involved children. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, how do we know, Ezehu Katan? In other words, what age of a child is appropriate to already begin bringing to Aliyah L'Regel? So the Gemara says, in other words, because the Mishnah said, Chutz mecheresh shota v'katan, that everybody is chayav in re'iyah, except for a cheresh shota and a katan. So what kind of katan is exempt, and what kind of katan is obligated? Presumably some kind of katan is obligated, because katan's vater from all mitzvos. So obviously there's something going on here. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Kol she'eno yachol lirkov al k'tefav shel aviv v'la'alos mirushalayim laharabayis. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, the cutoff is that they are old enough to sit on the shoulders of their father and come up from Yerushalayim to the Harabayis. That's what Beis Shammai says. That's a pretty young age, right? Child just has to be old enough to hold themselves up, right? To be able to sit up. 1 year old, right? About one, somewhere between one and two, right? Old enough to sit on your shoulders. Uveis Hillel Omrim, no, kol she'eno yochel lechos biyado shel aviv la'alos mirushalayim la'arabais. You have to be old enough to
walk,
but not necessarily walk independently, right? Walk, walk with assistance, right? Those who were involved in either growing up without an Eruv, or I remember when our kids were very, very little, and we were in Washington Heights without an Eruv, are very familiar with this scene, because you see, when you're in a community without an Eruv, as soon as your kids exhibit the slightest bit of capacity to move one foot in front of the other, that's it. You're going out for meals, you're going out for stuff, because you're no longer trapped in the home. And especially if Hashem blesses you with a series of young kids, you could end up not being able to leave the building for a number of years. So it's a very common scene, or at least before there was an Eruv in Washington Heights, and we lived there. It's a very common scene to just see a family with a kid sitting in the middle of the street, the kid screaming their head off, 1.5 years old, refusing to move, standing there in their new shoes. So that's very, very common. So you have to be able, so it could be that you could walk, at least holding on. So that's the shear according to Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says at that point, a person should bring their katan. Okay, so says the Gemara. Very, very end of Hey, I'm a Beis. Says the Gemara. Ezu katan kol sheni yachol lirkov al k'tefo shel aviv. Maskif la Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira asked the following question. Ad hocha, according to both of these shitos, ad hocha man asye. Until this point, how did the cotton get there? In other words, you're discussing whether or not this cotton is old enough to be able to move with a parent or move on his own with parental assistance. But how did the cotton get to Yerushalayim to begin with, says Rashi. Ad Yerushalayim me'evu, v'al m'shehu yachol lios chutz me'imo, yachol lechos b'yad ovid, k'dei alau m'Yerushalayim l'harabayis, at ta'om m'shishchon v'yad Yerushalayim me'evu. Who brought him to Yerushalayim that you're debating on how old he is and how much capacity he has? So Amar Le Abaye, so says Abaye, Ad Hacha de Mechaive Ime Besimcha, since from the home, let's say the home's in, I don't know where, right? Let's say the home is in Beit Shemesh, right? So from Tinek to Yerushalayim, I mean from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, right? Who brings him? The mother brings him. Because she's Chayiv in Simcha. I say Ime. She's Chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha. What does that mean, she's Chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha? So Rashi says, "Lalo sarega v'lismach b'chag imbala." Tosis discusses what's exactly, is it their chiyuv of simcha? Is it their chiyuv of simcha as sort of as a player? In other words, they also have to be happy, be mitzarev to this mitzvah simcha, or that part of the mitzvah on the Baal is to be misameach his wife, and therefore just to be there in order to have that simcha, right? This is before FaceTime, right? So therefore, she has to be there. She has to be part of the simcha. So she brought the kid. So she got the kid to Yerushalayim. Mikan ve'elech. Now the shaila is, the kid's in Yerushalayim. Now the shaila is there a chiyuv to bring the kid mamish to the harabais, to the Beis Hamikdash? So im yachal lalos v'lechos biyado shalavim Yerushalayim laharabais chayim. So says Beis Hillel, if you're able, if the child's able to move, by holding on to his father's hand and move from Yerushalayim to the Har Habayis, then you're chayav to bring the child. V'ilav, v'ilo, and if not so, then potter. So heishiv Rebbe, tachas Beis Hillel, edivrei Beis Shammai. So Rebbe was ma'orer, a raya to Beis Hillel, sort of against Beis Shammai. Right? Remember, Beis Hillel is the shear of not just riding on your shoulders, there you wouldn't necessarily be obligated, but you have to wait until already their putter until the child is able to walk on his own. V'chana lo osa. So the pasuk says that when it came time to aliyah leregel, that Chana did not go up to the Mishkan at that point, to Shiloh, right? Ki amra le'isha, because she said to her husband, ad sheyigomel hanar, until the nar is grows up a little bit. Rashi says, Lesov Chof Dalid Shana, Shekain Tinok Yonek, until he's 2 years old, 24 months. The assumption is that a child nurses for about 24 months. That has halachic implications with regarding to vestos, with regards to actually certain shilas of birth control, because you're not chayiv to have another child if it's going to come at the expense of being able to feed the first child. So that's a whole discussion. So until you're until Adshi Yigamel Hanar Ve'ev Yosef, and that's when you would bring the child to Shiloh for Aliyah L'Regel. V'Hashmuel Diyachol Irkov Al K'tevo Shalavim Hava. But let's be honest, Shmuel at this point was certainly at least 1 year old. He was certainly old enough to be able to go on the shoulders of his father. So if he was old enough to go on the shoulders for his father, and yet she said, we don't have to bring him till he's two, till he could walk a little bit, so then presumably you're not chayev until you can walk, which is the shita of Beis Hillel. It's against Beis Shammai. So Amar Lei Avuah, so the father of Rebbe, said to him, Ulitameich, if this is your calculation here of what's going on, then you should ask, Chana Gufei Milo Mechayeva Besimcha. What about Chana herself? What's she doing staying where she is? Why didn't she come to fulfill the mitzvah simcha? Ela Chana mifankusa yeserso. Chana was a little more mifunuk. She was a little more concerned. She was a little more worried. Let's not forget, she waited so many years for this child. It would be understandable that she would have a little more anxiety in terms of the health and well-being of Shmuel. Chazia baby Shmuel, v'chasha baby Shmuel, lechulsha de'orcha. She was worried that somehow the journey might compromise the well-being of Shmuel. That's why she wasn't there. So it's not necessarily a raya against Beis Shammai, the fact that she wasn't there. By Rabbi Shimon, so ask Rabbi Shimon, katan, let's say you have a katan, chiger, who is chiger, he has a limp, or he has something wrong with his walking, ledivrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, right? Meaning, he's in between those stages. V'suma ledivrei shneim, or a suma according to either of them. Mahu, what is the din of such a katan? So, right? What is the din for such a katan? So says the Gemara, hey chidami. So what's the shaila? Ilema bechiger shene yacholis pashet v'suma shene yacholis paseach. If you're dealing with the chiger that is not going to be healed, and a suma that's never going to see, hash the gadol potter katan mibai. If the gadol is potter, so certainly the katan should be potter. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, we're dealing with the following case. Bechiger sheyacholis pashet v'suma sheyacholis paseach. You're dealing with a case where the chiger is ultimately going to be healed, Rashi says, before he becomes a gadol, and the suma is going to be able, the blind child is going to be able to see, presumably before they become a child. My, so that's the Gemara Shaila. Is there an obligation of chinuch for a child who's in a circumstance that if they were a gadol, they would be potter from this mitzvah, but ultimately when they become a gadol, they're going to be chayev in this mitzvah, is there an obligation of chinuch to engage in the mitzvah with this child? Everybody following the question? That's the question. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye's psak is, Kol hecha de gadol mechayev midoraisa. Anytime a gadol is chayev midoraisa, kata nami mechanchele midirabonon. So the katan is also obligated, or you're obligated to be mechanech the katan midirabonon. Kol hecha de gadol pater midoraisa, but if you're dealing with a snapshot of a circumstance, where would this individual be a gadol? A fully grown person, a responsible adult, right? They would be pater min haTorah, so midrabanan, pater midoraisa, midrabanan katan nami pater. And the katan is also pater. So this Gemara is quoted in a very fascinating tshuva from Rav Moshe that comes up all the time, and that is, he's discussing the following shaila about sukkahs. So the Shulchan Aruch writes on sukkahs, right, well, we know the din is, your dalid minim have to be lochem. They have to belong to you. So that becomes a problem if you go ahead and you, let's say you have your child next to you, whatever age they are, they're 7 years old, they understand sukkahs, and you want to hand the child the dalid minim so that they could have the mitzvah of chinuch of dalid minim. This is a problem in chutz la'aretz, because once you hand the child the dalid minim, a child has the das to be koneh, child can acquire something, but they can't be makneh. Right? Oh, wow. They can't give something to somebody else. But anybody who's been blessed to have children knows they are very good at asserting possession. This is mine, right? But when it comes to sharing that possession with somebody else, maybe we should give your sister a turn, right? So then this is mine, right? So they're good at being kone, they're not so good at being makne. The das to be makne requires a more sophisticated das. By the way, that itself is just an interesting reflection in terms of life in general, right? That the to take possession of things in life requires a much lower level of sophistication and just intentionality and understanding than it does to be able to pass something on to somebody else, to give something to somebody. That requires a higher level of ability. So you're at sukkahs, and you have to have the lulav and esrog belong to you. So you certainly are not going to give it to them first. But what you could do is you could shake the lulav and esrog, and then you could hand it to the katan, right? So, and then it'll belong to them. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's fine, because after the first day of sukkahs, you no longer have a requirement of lachem. So now, even if it belongs to the katan forever, that's certainly not a problem. But if, and you'll just use the katan's lulav and esrog. But if you're dealing with chutz la'aretz, we're on Yom Tov Sheni, we try to have lachem also. So even after you shake the lulav and esrog, it's not pashit to give it to the katan, because they don't have the ability to give it back to you. So the shaila is, the Shulchan Aruch writes, this is an issue, and you have to be concerned about this issue. So the shaila is, what about, and this is what the Achronim already bring up, so fine, so give it to the katan, and don't be makne to the katan. Let him have the experience of waving the lulav and esrog without doing so in a manner that will create the challenge of not being able to give it back to you. A lot of people come into the lulav and esrog sale and they say they want a chinuch set, right? So to hand your child a lemon and a pasul lulav, that's not a kiyum of chinuch according to anybody, as we're going to see in a minute, right? Because a kiyum of chinuch requires doing something that has the integrity of some sort of mitzvah that you're not obligated to do. There's no chiyuv to shake, and there's no kiyum to shake a pasul lulav and a pasul esrog. But what about if the issue is not a pasul lulav and a pasul esrog, just one of the details of the din that they're not chayiv in anyway? So let them shake the lulav and esrog. They can't tell the difference if it's lachem or not lachem. And let them shake the lulav and esrog. This is the shaila, and it's a big machlokas achronim. The Magen Avram writes, what?
What about the fact, like, today is Hanukkah, okay, get candles, same thing, next week is the wedding, or even shaking the lulav and esrog. Doesn't it belong to, let's say, maybe the head of household, but the family?
Oh, so that's a good question. So for Hanukkah, you are correct, because Hanukkah is a din in the bias, And the father can light for others, as we see from the Gemara. There's a hiddur to have everybody light, but if you're part of the household, it's certainly what to talk about. It's a very good point. On Sukkos, we have a din of lochem, which is personal ownership of the item. And that does not work.
You get Ruth her own Lesrog and Lulav?
Women are not chayiv in Lulav and Esrog, but if she wanted to shake a Lulav and Esrog, it would be my pleasure to get her own Lulav and Esrog. If she ever wanted such, it would be... I would not get her a Apostle Lulav and Esrog. No, I would not.
I should get her her own?
If she, well, okay, that's a separate, in other words, we could talk about that more, it's very important to distinguish. Here we're dealing, you don't have the problem with Paula because she can be makna the lulav and esrog back to you. So she's not a minor, right? A woman can be kona things and be makna things. This is specifically a problem with your grandchildren. That would be a better example, right? So... this is a machlokas achron. In the Magen Avraham, very famously writes, so we shouldn't give lulav and esrogs to children in a way that doesn't represent the authentic experience of shaking the lulav and esrog. Because, after all, they're not going to own it, so that's not the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, and there's no mitzvah of chinuch to do something that is essentially meaningless. It's not a kiyum. If they were a gadol, they wouldn't be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. But it seems to be that the minig in Europe in general was in fact to give the children, even though you weren't going ahead and being mekayim the mitzvah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is masbir in a tshuva in Orach Chaim Chelek Gimel, Simen Tzadi Ches. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Masbir, it's a chakira in how we look at chinuch. What's the purpose of chinuch? Is the purpose of chinuch to essentially initiate, I'm being in terms of the formulation here, but this is what I think he's saying. Is the mitzvah of chinuch to initiate the child into the orbit of mitzvah obligation by having them perform the mitzvah, just not under the rubric of obligation? Or is the mitzvah of chinuch to habituate them to the experience of performing mitzvos, and it's irrelevant if they would necessarily be mekayim the mitzvah itself? What's really the goal, right? I always like to talk about the people who take the infants and hold them up to the sink and wash their hands where the child has absolutely no idea what's going on. The child's screaming and then they mutter something and everyone says amen, right? What's the purpose of chinuch? Is the purpose of chinuch to initiate the child into shmiras ha-mitzvos? So says Rav Moshe, if the purpose of chinuch is to initiate the child into shmiras ha-mitzvos, then to introduce the child to an experience that is not a mitzvah observance, with the only thing missing being their obligation, is not a kiyum of chinuch. But if the goal here is to habituate them to the experience, then so long as the experience itself, from their perspective, has integrity, right, where if you hand them a lemon, it doesn't, but they don't even know that you need or you don't need or they have or they don't have possession, it's not evident that when they become a gadol, will they know how to do this? They will know how to do this. When they become a gadol, they'll know how to do this, because after all, they'll know what it looks like. And the only difference will be, they'll own it. So Rav Moshe says, it's totally on this Shaila and this Gemara. The Gemara says, we're dealing with a case where the child's going to become sighted before he's a gadol. The child is going to become healed before he's a gadol. And the Gemara's Shaila is exactly this Shaila, says Rav Moshe. The Gemara's Shaila is the mitzvah of chinuch to give the child an experience, and we know that ultimately when it becomes a gadol, that experience will be relevant, even though now as a katan, that experience has no full integrity, because the child's not chayiv in re'iyah, or is the mitzvah, as seemingly is the Gemara's conclusion, is the mitzvah to give the child an experience that really is a mitzvah experience in its totality. And if the child in his current circumstances, pater from mitzvos, and not obligated to do it at all, so then the child as a katan is pater from mitzvos and not obligated to do it at all. And then he's mechalik at the end of the tshuva between Europe and America. In Europe, most of the families didn't have lulavim and esrogim. There were very few lulavim and esrogim. So the whole din of lachem was not as real to begin with. So to be makel on this made a lot more sense anyway. Whereas already lachem in Nasenu America, hishpia bechasto shefa berchaso. We have so much bracha. So many people have kosher lulav and esrog. You could get it. So yesh lechol echad lahachmir kamoshu roy laharos ledina veliknas bad kol katan vekatan esrog uminov biyichud shiyeil shelo mamish yikayim ha'av mitzvah chinuch olav kedin. Says Rav Moshe that today in America, where you can get it, you can come to the Young Israel sale and get your $35 esrog. So you spend $35 for other things for kids that are a lot less meaningful. So go ahead and do it so that the child could own their own lulav and esrog and practice that din of chinuch in its entirety. The truth is, it's something to think about in general, this chakira, that basically Rav Moshe is landing in the space of, you know, there's kind of truth to both. You know, part of what we're trying to accomplish through chinuch is to create a true atmosphere within which children can perform mitzvos in their ideal, in terms of what they're supposed to be. And part of what we're trying to do is to habituate them to this experience, so that when they become a gadol, it is not something they're doing for the very first time, right? This comes up in so many contexts. Do you bring kids to shul who are not going to daven? Is that a chinuch? Right? Is it a chinuch for them? How is that chinuch? Right? They're going to sit in shul, they're not going to do anything. Right?
They make brachas on lollipops.
So, they make brachas on lollipops. Yes. That's mechanech them for something, for sure. And there are people who that's what their experience is as a gadol. They're probably just sitting around shul sucking on lollipops, and so maybe that would be good. But if we want them to become upstanding members, where they're involved in davening, so what's the point of bringing them to shul if they're not davening at all? So the answer to that question is, if they're coming to shul and they're disruptive and the whole experience is undermining to their growth and they, you know, develop a hatred, that's like handing a kid a lemon for a dalad minim. That's nothing. What are you doing? You're not bringing them in anything. If they just come into shul and they're just running around and they're not, but if they're coming to shul and they're immersed in the environment and they're just not doing the full experience, but you're habituating them so that when they hit 13 years old in one day, it's not such a strong contrast. All of a sudden, boom, now they have to walk into shul that they've already developed and nurtured a certain sense of habit that this is what we do. So there's value to that. There's value to that. That to force it down their throat is not value, but there's a lot to talk about. But this is the Gemara, very famous Gemara, in terms of relating to our obligation of chinuch. Here we go. Beis Shammai Omrim, Hara'iya Shtei Kesef. All right, so we have to hold cup a little bit here. Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's just go back to the Mishnah for 10 seconds. Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How much you have to spend on the korban re'iya and how much you have to spend on the korban chagiga. The korban re'iya, right, is a korban ola, gets entirely consumed. Korban chagiga is a korban shlamim. You get to burn some of it and eat some of it. And that was part of the experience of the aliyah l'regel. So Beis Shammai says, hara'iya shtei kesef, achagiga ma'a kesef. Beis Shammai believes that the korban re'iya had to be the more valuable one, the more precious one, the more expensive one. And the korban chagiga, a little bit less, right? V'u Beis Hillel omrim, and Beis Hillel says, nope, the opposite. Re'iya ma'a, the korban re'iya only has to be a ma'a, and kesef, achagiga, shtei kesef. Kesef and ma'a kesef, achagiga, shtei kesef. And the korban chagiga has to be two kesef. So here we go. Most of the daf now is about clarifying this din. Tanu Rabbanan, so we learned in the Braisa. Beis Shammai Omri Mari'iyo Shtei Kesef, Bechagiga Ma Kesef. Beis Shammai holds the korban re'iyo is the more precious one. Bechagiga is the less precious one. Right? Shari'iyo Ola, so then the Gemara gives two reasons for Beis Shammai. One reason is, Shari'iyo Ola Kula L'Gavoa. The korban re'iyo goes completely to God. So the one, presumably, that goes completely to God, that's the one you would invest more in. Masha Enkein Bechagiga. That you eat, you get to eat some of it. The Od Matzinu, and another precedent that we have for this notion, that whenever we have a convergence of karbonos that involve Ola, and karbonos that involve Shlomim, that we actually accentuate the Ola, is in the Atzeres, in Shavuos, right? Where it says, Sheriba ba'en akasav ba'olos, yoser mibishlomim, where we offer more Olos than Shlomim. Those are the two reasons of Shitas Beis Shammai. Ubeisela l'omrim, Beisela said the opposite. That the re'ia is less, the carbonola is less, v'kasef, v'chagiga, shtei kasef. So why would that be? Shechagiga, because there's something very special about the carbon chagiga that says, Beisela, we would give more towards it. What is that? Yeshna lifnei hadibur. The carbon, the notion of a carbon chagig, of a carbon shlamim, is actually introduced to the Jewish people before Matan Torah itself. As Rashi says, Koda Matan Torah ikrivu shlamim b'sinai. In the experience of our Sinai, they offered carbonos. Dichsiv, ayishlach es na'are b'nei Yisrael. Now, that pasuk is actually in Parshas Mishpatim, as Rav Natan is already smiling, since he knows that it comes after Kabbalah Satorah, but va'afagav the high crux siv b've'ela mishpatim la'achar aseres adibros, even though it comes after the aseres adibros, kodum aseres adibros hava, it actually happened before the aseres adibros, ve'ein mukdam u'mukhar b'torah. And so, as we know, Rashi's opinion is that the Torah is not necessarily in chronological order. And so, therefore, this actually happened before Matan Torah. So if this happened before Matan Torah, that means it must be something very special about the Korban Chagig, that it's even introduced to the Jewish people before Matan Torah. So if it's introduced to the Jewish people before Matan Torah, that should be the more special one. That should be the one that's more expensive and more precious. The Korban Ola should be the one that is less. Masha Enkein Beri'iyah. The Od Matzinu, and as well, says Beis Hillel, I have a precedent for the notion that carbon shlamims are offered at greater degree than carbon olas, and that is from the experience of the Nesiim. Shariba ba'en akosuv bishlamim yoser mi ba'olos, right? We're going to have this Kriyas HaTorah coming out of our ears for the next 8 days, right? And we're all going to know that the carbon olas, the carbon shlamims are more than the carbon olas. Ubeis Hillel. Okay, so that's the opinion of Beis Shammai, and that's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Ubeis Hillel, my time alone, Merke Beis Shammai. So says the Gemara, why wouldn't Beis Hillel agree with Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai had two reasons. One reason is the ola goes all the way to Hashem, and so that should be more. The other reason is Shavuos, where there are more olas than shlamims. The Kamarta, because he would say, Re'ia Adifa de Ola, the ola kula ligavoa, but that's what Beis Shammai said. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel would say, adiraba. The opposite is true. Chagiga adifa. The chagiga should be more. Why? The ispa shtei achilos. Because there are two achilos, says Rashi, mizbeach the adam. Right? So it's almost like a machlokas in what's considered more chashiv. When we do something that is entirely sacrificial to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because in certain ways, from a consecration standpoint, right, that seems to be like a total, an absolute sense of sacrifice to Hashem. Hashem is literally consuming everything. In the world of Beis Shammai, that's the ideal. And Beis Hillel says, no, actually, when you're splitting the two, the tziruf of man and God, the notion that the same carbon has shaychus to the Melech Malchei Amlochim and to the Yaakov Glasser sitting here on the floor, that tziruf, that itself is a greater concept. So you see in there a little bit different approaches to just religious life, right? What's a higher level? Is a higher level kind of the distance, the subjugation of man in deference to the, you know, the purity of God, and we live life in the aesthetic, that's the goal? Or is this ability to kind of share in the carbon, that's greater? So Beis Hillel says, it's a shlomim, b'd karmart and elef ma'atzeres, and your second point, Beis Shammai, that you learn from Shavuos, that's ridiculous. Done in carbon yachin, mi carbon yachin. If we're going to have precedence here, let's have the precedence be parallel. So we learn out a carbon yachid from a carbon yachid. They ain't done in carbon yachid mi carbon sibur. We don't learn a carbon yachid, an individual carbon, from a carbon sibur. It's very possible that when it comes to a carbon sibur, there's a greater focus on an ola, for whatever reason. But for a yachid, maybe not. And so therefore, he says we don't do that. Beis Shammai, my time alone, rim ku Beis Hillel. So that was a good case. So why doesn't Beis Shammai agree to Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, "De kamarto chagiga adifa," says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, that you said that the carbon chagiga is greater, de yeshna lifnei hadibur, because it appears even before Kabbalah Satorah, re'ia nami yeshna lifnei hadibur. Says Beis Shammai, you didn't read the whole pasuk, right? You didn't read the whole pasuk. because there is a korban re'iyah, there's a korban ola also happening at the moment of Sinai. Where is that happening? It's actually right in the same pasuk. Does our Gemaras have the psukim? Yes. Vayishlach es nare b'nei Yisrael, vayalu olos, and they offered olos. Vayizbichu zvachim shlamim la'ashem parim. This was like a bait and switch. We only quoted the last half of the pasuk, right? Since almost none of us know these psukim, it didn't bother us. We didn't think 2 seconds about it, right? And since we're supposed to learn Tanakh just from the Gemara anyway, so we weren't up to that pasuk. Now the Gemara tells us there's another half of the pasuk. The other half of the pasuk, which actually comes first, it's not like the big reveal. It's like, if you knew the first half of the pasuk that we just quoted, you would have come to this kasha right away. The other half of the pasuk says there was an ola. It says, Beisham, I understand. You think it's such an amazing, amazing revelation about the korban shlamim that they're offered even before Matan Torah. The very same pasuk says that a korban ola was offered before Matan Torah. So if the korban ola was offered before Matan Torah, so then there's no reason to choose shlamim over ola. I choose ola. So says the Gemara, v'dekam artan elav minisim, and after you want to learn it out from nisim, donin davar anoig lidoros, and davar anoig lidoros, and donin davar anoig lidoros, and davar shen anoig lidoros. That's a terrible precedent. See, Shavuos is a good precedent, because there's Shavuos every year. Every year we have Shavuos. The Chanukas anisim is something that only happened once in all of Jewish history. That never happens again. That's a whole discussion, why so much extensive real estate in the Torah to something that only happened once. But it never happens again. Since it never happens again, that can't be a precedent for anything. That could have been a one-time exception of how to do this. Ubeis Hillel, Maishnach. Okay, so that's the reason why Beis Hillel doesn't follow Beis Shammai, and that's the reason why Beis Shammai doesn't follow Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara is going to pick on one of these. Details. Ubeis Hillel, Maishno Chagiga de Yeshna Lifnei Adibor, Dechsiv, Vyizbichu Zvachim Shlomim, Re'ia Namioksiv, Vayalu Olos. So the Gemara is very bothered by Beis Shammai's point, right? The Gemara is very bothered by this. The Gemara says, Beis Shammai is 100% right. The beginning of that pasuk says there were Olos. So what is Beis Hillel saying when he's saying to Beis Shammai, all the other back and forth, the Gemara's like, okay, I hear you, ain't done in, you know, if it's a tzibor to a yachid, ain't done in if it's Lidoros, if it's not Lidoros, one of them's more important than the other, but this Nekuda that Beis Hillel said, I don't hold a view because shlomims appear before in the Torah, when Beis Shammai's retort that olos are also there, is Lechora black and white? Like, what does Beis Hillel do with that? Says the Gemara, Kosabri Beis Hillel, Ola Shikrivu Yisrael Bemidbar, Olas Tamid Havya. The Ola that's being referred to here in the Midbar is not a regular Korban Ola that would set the precedent that Beis Shammai is looking for. It's rather the Ola of a Tamid, of the Korban. It's the beginning of the Korban Tamid. So since the beginning of the Korban Tamid is happening at right before Mamid Har Sinai, so that's not a precedent for anything. That Korban is a regular Korban Sibor. That's not a special Korban Ola. So for Beis Hillel, I know it says there's an Ola, but that Ola is the Tamid. So since that Ola is the Tamid, it teaches us nothing, meaning the only thing in terms of extra Korbanos that appear are Shlamims. Therefore, shlamims are more precious. Therefore, we spend more time on shlamims, more money on shlamims than we do on the ola. Ubei Shammai Savri. So what does Beis Shammai do with that? Maybe it really is the Korban Tamid. That upschlugs his upschlug of Beis Hillel's opinion. So says the Gemara, Beis Shammai Savri, ola sheikrivu Yisrael b'midbar, ola sri'i ahavya. No, you're wrong. The ola that they brought in the midbar was not a Tamid. It was an olas ri'iyah. So Amar Abaye, says Abaye, this machlokes, if the Klal Yisrael brought the Olas Tamid in the Midbar or not, right? Then if not, it would be like Beis Shammai, that means it's the Olas Re'iyah. Did they bring the Olas Tamid like Beis Hillel says? Did they bring the Olas Re'iyah like Beis Shammai says? Is a massive machlokes Tanoim. It's a massive machlokes Tanoim. Because the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yishmo, Kula Svirilu, they all hold, Ola Shikribi Yisrael B'Midbar, Ola Sri'ilahavya. that the Olah that he brought in the Midbar, the beginning of that Pasuk, was an Olas Re'iyah. That following the opinion of Beis Shammai, and that's why Olas Re'iyah is stronger, and there's no Raya from the Shlomim, like Beis Hillel. Ubeis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the other team, right? The blue team. So, no political connotations there, right? I was thinking color war. I wasn't thinking politics, right? Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kulis Virlu, Olos Shikruvi Yisrael, Bemidbar, Olos Tamid Avya. It was the Olos Tamid. If it's the Olos Tamid, that means it's not a special Ola. That means we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi, of Beis Sham. So Beis Sham, so now the Gemara tries to find the sources of these six Shitos. So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, you know Beis Shammai holds that we went ahead and offered a Olas Re'iyah and not a Korban Tamid because Hodamron. We already got his opinion, right? That's already clear here. Rabbi Yishmael, how do we know Rabbi Yishmael is on that team? The Tanya, because we're in a Brice, Rabbi Yishmael says, Klolos Nemru B'Sinai. What was really given at Sinai altogether, right? There's a big discussion. We had this discussion in the Gemara in Megillah, right? Not too long ago. So what was given at Sinai? What was given at Sinai? How long did they stand at Sinai and hear Torah, right? Daf Yomi is given at Sinai. What went on there? So he says, Klolos, the principles of Torah were given at Sinai. Upratos and the details, Be'ol Moed, were given once they set up the Mishkan in the Ol Moed. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Klolos upratos nemru b'Sinai. That Klolos and Pratos were given at Sinai. V'nishnu b'Ol Moed, they were reviewed a second time at the Ol Moed. V'nishtalshu b'Arvos Moav. And they were reviewed a third time in Arvos Moav. V'isol kadaitach. So now the Gemara explains where this, it's Rabbi Yishmael that we're on. Where this Rabbi Yishmael thing comes from, how you know Rabbi Yishmael is on Team Beis Shammai, because if you would think, Ola Shikri V'Yisrael B'Midbar Olas Tamid, if you assume that the Ola in the Midbar is the Olas Tamid like Beis Hillel, right? And if the Olas Tamid is like Beis Hillel, if you assume it's the Olas Tamid, Havai Mika Midid Mi Kara Labai Hashifin Ituach Labasof Bai Hashifin Ituach. It doesn't make sense. They didn't have all the details. All they had was the klolim. So if all they had was the klolim, the details of the karbon, like the skinning and the chopping and all the different little things that you would do related to the karbon, you're telling me that they offered a karbon without really knowing exactly what they had to do in all of its detail? It doesn't make any sense. So again, Rabbi Yishmael never said a word about the Olas Tamid. This is an extrapolation from Rabbi Yishmael's opinion about the nature of Kabbalah Zatorah, in aligning him, in Abaye, aligning him with the approach of Beis Shammai. Since Rabbi Yishmael holds that they only got the general rules and they did not get the details, it must be that there's no way there was an Olas Tamid at the time of the of Sinai. Because they it doesn't make sense. They would offer the korban one way, and then after they got the pratim, they'd offer it another way. So that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar, Ditanya will enter a brisa. Olas Tamid Asuya Behar Sinai. Right? The Pasuk says, this is in Bamidbar, that the Olas Tamid that they did at Har Sinai, right? That's part of the Korban HaTamid, Kriyas HaTorah. Rabbi Lazar Omer, says Rabbi Lazar, Maaseya Nemru B'Sinai. Vi Atzma Lo Karva. So says Rabbi Lazar, that they related to it at Sinai, but they learned the halachos at Sinai, but they didn't offer the korban at Sinai. That's what it means. Ha'asuya behar Sinai. The ma'aseh nemru b'Sinai, but they didn't actually do it. Rabbi Akiva says, kirva, they offered it, v'shuv lo pascha, and they never stopped it. So, what do you see from here? You see from here that Rabbi Elazar is assuming the Olas Tamid was not offered at the time of Sinai. If the Olas Tamid was not offered at the time of Sinai, that follows the opinion of Beis Shammai. That means the Ola that was offered was the Olas Re'iyah. That means both the Olas Re'iyah and the Shlomim were offered before Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore, one should not enjoy any precedence over the other. And therefore, Beis Hillel's opinion is wrong. So, Ela Mani Mekayim, so says the Gemara, well, according to all this, how do you understand the Pasuk in Amos, What does the pasuk say? Hazvachim umincha higashtem li bamidbar arbim shana beis Yisrael. Rashi says bitmiya, that he's asking this in wonderment. Did you offer any karbanos to me in the 40 years in beis Yisrael? So how do you explain that pasuk according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that they did offer karbanos during the 40 years, the karban tamin? So the Gemara says, no, it was actually very exceptional. And that's why the Musar in almost makes sense. Shivto shel Levi, the Shevet of Levi was responsible for the Karban HaTamid, meaning the money for the Karban HaTzibor of Karban HaTamid was collected only from Shevet Levi. Right? Shelo Avdu Avodah Zarah. They didn't worship Avodah Zarah in the Midbar. The concern is that after the Chet HaEgel, Jewish people felt so much distance, they didn't offer Karbanos the whole time in the Midbar. But Shevet Levi didn't feel that distance. Heinik Ribo saw. And they did offer it, and that explains why, even according to Rabbi Akiva, the Karban Tamid may have been offered, even though the Pasuk seems to suggest that Karbanos were not offered, because they were offered, but not on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, therefore leaving room for that Musar to be substantiated, but it was offered, leaving room for Rabbi Akiva's Shita to be correct. Beis Hillel, says the Gemara, okay, that's Adkan, Beis Shammai, V'chaverov, right? Now Abai is Cheshbon on Beis Hillel, right? And his friends. Beis Hillel, Hadamron. Beis Hillel, we already said exactly how that works. That Beis Hillel holds that the Olas Tamid that was offered in the Midbar was an actual Karban HaTamid. It was the Olas HaTamid. And therefore, it wasn't a special Ola. The only thing that was special was the Shlomim, and that's why Shlomim gets more. Rabbi Akiva, Hanami Damron. And we obviously already said the sheet of Rabbi Akiva in the Brice that we just quoted. The Rabbi Akiva held that they started the Karban HaTamid already from the time of what do you call it? Of Sinai. And that's, of course, because Rabbi Akiva holds, they said the Klalim and the Pratim at Sinai. They had the Klalim and they had the Pratim. There's no reason why the Nituach and the Hefshed, the skinning and the chopping and all the details, couldn't be done already then. And that means that it could be done then, and it was done then. It sounds in the Nevi'im like it wasn't done then. That just has to do with who it was shayach to and based on Shevet Levi, but it did happen then. If it did happen then, that leaves Beis Hillel in the right, because that Ola that the Pasuk talked about, that Beis Shammai brought up against Beis Hillel, that's talking about a special Ola, the Ola Satamid. But regular Olos were not offered. But regular shlomim were offered. If regular shlomim were offered, then shlomim is more important than Ola, and that's why shlomim gets the higher cost. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what about Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Where did you get him as part of Team Beis Hillel? Did Tanya Willard Dinner Bryce, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Shalosh mitzvot stav Yisrael ba'alosim l'regel. There are three mitzvot that Jewish people were given when they were all regel: Re'iyah, Chagiga, and Simcha, right? Re'iyah, the Karban Ola, Chagiga, the Karban Shlamim, and Simcha, which is also maybe part of the Karban Shlamim, maybe other things, we'll definitely get into that. Yesh b'Re'iyah she'em b'shneim, there is a dimension of the Karban Re'iyah that doesn't exist by the other two. Yesh b'Chagiga she'em b'shneim, there's a dimension of the Karban Chagiga that doesn't exist by the other two. Yesh b'Simcha she'em b'shneim, there's a dimension of the Karban Simcha. Of the mitzvah similar doesn't apply to the other two. Yesh b'Re'iyah she'em b'shneim, what's the dimension of Re'iyah that doesn't apply to the other two? Sha'ri'iya ola kulu legavoa. The carbon re'iya goes completely to God. Correct. Masha'en came b'shteyem. The others are carbon shlamim, or buying jewelry for your wife. That doesn't go to God. That goes to his wife. Yesh b'chagiga. There are those that goes to your wife. I'm sorry. Jet lag. Ke'am b'shteyem. Yesh b'chagiga. There are those. There is something special about chagiga. Ma she'ein b'shteyen. She'chagiga yeshna lifnei adibor. The chagiga happened before Matan Torah. Oh boy, that sounds a lot like Beis Hillel. Ma she'ein came b'shteyen. Yesh b'shteyen, as opposed to the other two. We know the Olas were also offered. It must be that he holds like Beis Hillel. That Ola was a Korban Tamid. Yesh b'simcha ma she'ein b'shteyen. She'asimcha, that simcha no eges ba'anoshim u'b'noshim. That simcha applies both to men and women. Ma she'ein came b'shteyen. Ma she'ein came the Korban of Re'iyah and Chagiga, which the women were pottering. V'Rabbi Yishmael, my taima, kamuk mislei kebei shamai. So says the Gemara, and according to Rabbi Yishmael, Now we have Team Beis Shammai and Team Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara wants to challenge the alignment of Rabbi Yishmael with Team Beis Shammai. Gemara thinks that's not... Remember, Rabbi Yishmael never said a word about our topic. Rabbi Yishmael just said that the Klolim are mentioned before Sinai, at Sinai, and the Pratim are mentioned afterwards. And we extrapolated from that, there's no way that there was a Karban Atamid from the beginning, if that's true. Dahainu, he must hold like Beis Shammai. There wasn't a Karban Atamid, there was a Karban Olah, so you have no right to give precedence to the Karban Shlom. The Gemara says, hold on. We could still preserve Rabbi Yishmael's opinion in that Brisa, and perhaps be mechalik between these two things, and not necessarily presume that he follows Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yishmael, my time at Komukvus lo Beis Shammai. Why'd you align him like Beis Shammai? Isa kadaitech ola shikriv Yisrael b'midbar olas tamid avya. Mi'ika midi demi kara lo bayash v'nituach lo basof bayahavshid v'nituach. So if you're saying that because you assume that by saying that the carbon ol, by saying that the details were not given till later, that means you can't have it happening without the details earlier. V'harav Yossi Aglili, but the opinion of Yossi Aglili, the Amar Ola Shikrivu Yisrael B'Midbar Olas Tamid Havya, that who did hold explicitly that the Ola that they offered was a Olas Tamid Havya Meikara Lo Boy Ashet V'Nituach L'Basof Boy Ashet V'Nituach. D'Tanya, because we learned in a Brisa that you can split these things. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Ola Shikrivu Yisrael B'Midbar Ein Etun Ashet V'Nituach L'Fisha Ein Ashet V'Nituach. So, Sami Mikan Rabbi Yishmael. So, what he's saying is the following. Our whole alignment was based on an assumption. That assumption is that karbonos can't change. That the way they're given at the beginning has to be the way they always happen. Says the Gemara, where'd you get that from? What's the riot of that? Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly maintains both of these positions. He clearly maintains that the ola that was offered was an olas tamid. And he says that all the klalim were given, only the klalim were given at Sinai. So if that's true, you see that those two things are separable. So therefore, don't assume that Rabbi Yishmael holds like Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yishmael could hold like Beis Hillel, could hold like Beis Shammai, but he's not squarely in the Beis Shammai camp. By Rav Chisda, say ask Rav Chisda, high crow, this pasuk, hechiksiv. How do you write this pasuk? What's the pasuk? So the pasuk is the pasuk we've been discussing. Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael, vayalu olos vayizbichu zvachim shlomim la'ashem porim. So here's the pasuk. Someone had a chumash? If you could just open to the pasuk for a second. So the pasuk says they sent the na'arei b'nei Yisrael and they offered olos and they offered zvachim that were offered karbonos that were shlomim la'ashem to Hashem porim, which means what? Bulls, exactly. So says the Gemara, Vayishach Esnari B'nei Yisrael Vayalu Olos Kvasim. So what does the Gemara mean? Does it mean Vayalu Olos, they offered Olos that were, this word's not in the Pasuk, Kvasim, and then Vayizbichu Zvachim Shalom LaHashem Parim, meaning the Olim were Kvasim, and the Shlomim were Parim. Is that what the Pasuk means to say? Oh, or no, Dilma idi v'idi parim, they're both parim, havu, and the pasuk means to say, because pasuk doesn't say kvasim, means to include everything, and then say parim at the end. So this pasuk, right, chaf dalet hey, the Gemara says, l'may nafkamina, what's the nafkamina, right, who cares, right? Mar zutra omar lepisuk ta'amim. So Marzutra says the nafkamina is how to split up the trop. If the assumption is vayalu olos, it refers to kvasim, then the pause should be on olos, which in fact it is. There's an esnachta on olos, right? But if it means to say that the word parim, and then we rely on Tarshim al-Peh, what those olos should be, typical olos of kvasim. But if really the word parim is meant to be distributive to the entire pasuk, then the ta'amim should land on parim and not earlier. So that's one nafkamina, where to put the trup. So there's a discussion about the ta'amim. In Shulchan Aruch it says discussion in Shulchan Aruch about when you correct the Baal Koreh, when you don't correct the Baal Koreh, right? Very important, right? Like we mention often at the bar mitzvahs, there are people in this world who live to correct Baalei Kriya, right? Wake up in the morning, it's the most excited they get in shul. And the truth is, if it were up to me, I would make every Baal Koreh make at least two mistakes over the course of Kriya Satorah, because I feel like if they know that the Baal Koreh is going to make a mistake, people are more attentive to the Kriya. If they know that the Baal Koreh is too good, then they sit back and relax, and they just enjoy the Kriyas HaTorah. But if they know that they have shaychus to doing a correction, to screaming out a correction, and maybe even screaming it out before everybody else, and maybe even screaming it loud enough that it embarrasses the Baal Koreh so that he'll think twice before sitting in your shul and laning, not that you could do this even for five psukim, right? Then you're more focused. So if it were up to me, I would have every Baal Koreh make at least two or three mistakes over the course of laning, and let that be the excitement of Kriya Sator. But I understand that others who are wiser than me and care more about, doing the mitzvahs correctly than getting everybody inspired, say that that's not what we should do. So Baruch Hashem, they're in charge of this religion, and I'm their students, and we follow them. But the Shaila is, when do you correct, when do you not correct? So the basic din is, you correct when it's going to change the meaning of a word. If it's not going to change the meaning of a word, you don't correct, right? Now, most people sitting in shul have absolutely no idea when something's going to change the meaning of a word and when something's not going to. You could have a mistake in emphasis of a word that changes the meaning of a word, and you could have a mistake in pronunciation that doesn't change the meaning of a word at all, right? It's just the pausal form of that word. Kesef and kosef. Is that correct? Does not change the meaning of the word. Kesef is when it's part of a pasuk. Kosef is when it's landing either at the end or in a pausal form of the word, right? So that you would not change. But other times you would change. Isha, isha, right? Different things are. So the Gemara says, so the assumption is, when it comes to trop, since it doesn't change the meaning of the word, you don't correct for trop. So we don't correct the Baalei Kriya for trop. But there are poskim that say, every once in a while, and this Gemara is the Raya, every once in a while, the trup changes the meaning of the pasuk, where you're stopping the pasuk. You have to be a tremendous expert to know exactly where that would take place. But presumably, if you knew for a fact that the mistaken trup changed the meaning of the pasuk, which here, this is the Gemara's example, that's the nafkamina, then l'chora, you should scream at them with as much passion as possible. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Omar, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says, no, forget the Kriyas HaTorah. You know where this comes up as an afkamina? La Omer, for someone who says, Hare Alai Ola, I accept upon myself an Ola, Ke Ola Sheikriba Yisrael B'Midbar. Oh, like the Ola that they offered in the Midbar. So then we need to know, what kind of Ola did they offer in the Midbar? My, Parim Avu, did they offer Parim, which is reading the Pasuk as one big unit? Oh, kvasim havu. Or did they read it just a kvasim? So if you have that shaila, and you do that, and you bring that shaila to your rav, he's going to tell you, teku. We don't know. We're going to have to wait till Eliyahu Navi to know what to do in order to clarify this shaila, because we don't know what the actual perfect interpretation of the pasuk is. Okay, everyone have an amazing day. The